Welcome to New Life Church's Equipping Podcast. Good to be with you all today or tonight, whenever you're listening. This is Ryan Bondi, and today we are talking about generosity. And with me today, I have two special guests, Troy Hayes and Nick Spazowski. Can you guys say hi?
Hey, everybody.
Hello, hello.
First was Troy, and then was Nick, just to be clear. And so when I was tasked with thinking about this as a podcast episode, someone recommended Troy to me. They said, you got to get Troy on there. Man, he is a generous man. And then I need another person, so I asked Nick. No, I'm just kidding. I've experienced Nick to be an incredibly generous person as well, and so I wanted to invite them here to be able to speak on this subject, and hopefully we can all learn from them and engaging in Scripture as well. And to start, I just want to say that at New Life, generosity is our joy. And behind that value, we believe that to encounter Jesus is to come alive with joy and gratitude. As people who are in awe of the generosity of God, we can't help but give generously in return. And having tasted the riches of his grace, it is our joy to share our time, talents, and treasure with others. And the verse behind that I want to share is from 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. There's a great verse behind this value. And Troy and Nick, I'd love to invite you guys to share a little bit of what compels you towards generosity, anything from that passage, anything even from your story or experience with generosity in your life. And I just want to start with kind of the awkward speaking about what you've given can kind of come off as bragging. In fact, biblically, you shouldn't do it. Biblically, you shouldn't share to the end of bringing yourself praise or glory. But that's not what you guys are doing here. And so I just want to say, I want to invite you guys to feel free to share in a way that builds up others, in a way that builds up others by giving examples and experience behind the heart behind generosity. So Troy, I'm curious if you'd be willing to share a little bit of what compels you toward generosity and your story with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So generosity hasn't always been something that I've done, but now that it's been knowing Jesus. So
yeah.
I would say that since coming to know the Lord, there has just been this awakening of the generosity of the Lord in my life. And so, coming back to my story regarding my family and upbringing, like we didn't have a lot, and nobody's ever attended college, and so really getting into U of M shouldn't have happened. And
yeah,
there's been teachers in in elementary school and middle school and high school that have just been extremely generous to me, who I now know as believers in the Lord. And so there's just been a lot of a very large trail of breadcrumbs from the Lord displaying his generosity in my life. And so as I've reflected on that after coming to know the Lord, it just makes sense that even before having a relationship with Jesus, he was very generously giving to me. And so how can I have a claim on where I'm at today without the Lord's hand being in it? And so, yeah, that's like the most compelling thing for me, is just realizing the generosity of the Lord and knowing that everything, literally everything that I have, is a doing of the Lord's. And so whether that be things that are natural, so I'm intuitive and sometimes intelligent and and curious and have an ability to understand and grasp things. Like, I didn't choose to be able to do those things well. Like, those are gifts that the Lord has given me. And also the career path that he's laid me on is one that I've never really had direction on or know what I'm doing, but the Lord seems to be leading and guiding me there. And so it just seems like every step of the way, the Lord continues to give gifts and to just kind of show me the path and be generous to me. And so it just kind of again, kind of makes sense to me as I reflect on the generosity of the Lord, mm-hmm. that why would I not be generous mm-hmm. back to him if he's already given me all that I have? And so that's a big reason. And then Laura, my wife, and I, one of our core values is actually generosity. Mm-hmm. And so Luke 21:1-4 talks about, Jesus in the temple and the rich people putting their gifts in the temple treasury. And then a widow comes and puts like the only two small copper coins that she had mm-hmm. Into there. And she, Jesus says that she is given much more than those that were giving. And so that's just, a testament to the Lord having mm-hmm. given. And she understands that. Mm-hmm. And like all that she had to live on was given. Mm-hmm. And so that's a challenging verse
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot more than two copper coins.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's something that I've like consistently felt compelled by
yeah.
in generosity, is to just keep challenging ourselves and where and how we can give.
That's excellent. Thanks for giving a little background there. And I hear very clearly there, you looking back in your life and even looking currently and seeing how the Lord has been generous to you. And just like that 2 Corinthians passage says, that God has given you so much. You can give back. You and I hear the perspective shift there of really just viewing what you have beyond even finances, like who you are, what you are like, the gifts that you have as originating from the Lord. What claim do you have on them? And it seems like that perspective really allows you to consider how, if those aren't from you, if those are from the Lord, how can you give them back? How can you use them? That's great.
Yep, absolutely.
Nick, I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and experience with generosity as well.
Yeah. I think the first thing that comes to mind is just the gospel. Honestly, not to just give like a churchy answer, but
yeah.
I think that when I'm able to stay rooted in the gospel and what Jesus has done for us mm-hmm. on the cross, paying the ultimate penalty for us to purchase us back from mm-hmm. sin and slavery to sin. And to die in our place, mm-hmm. It's like the ultimate act of generosity, right? Mm-hmm. Like he gave mm-hmm. it all
yeah.
for us, that just the possibility of a relationship mm-hmm. With us could be had. When my eyes and my mind and my heart and spirit can remember the gospel and be focused on Jesus in that way, it's very easy to be generous mm-hmm. Because I just feel like, gosh, he's given me so much, how could I not
yeah.
also
yep.
return anything that is asked of me mm-hmm. By him?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's first and kind of central foremost. I think when my eyes get shifted off of that or onto
yeah.
myself or, mm-hmm. Particular, needs or wants or, money's tight or mm-hmm. there's bills to pay or whatnot, then it's much harder mm-hmm. to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
So I do really like that verse from 2 Corinthians. Another thought that came to mind is it's almost like kind of daring you to give, and like do it generously. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, whoever sows generously is going to reap generously. So, mm-hmm. It's I don't think it's quite like a selfish motivation, because the next part says to give out of like what you decide in your heart, not like reluctantly or compulsion, but like cheerfully.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this aspect of like, yeah, go ahead. Kind of try me out. See what I'll do in return.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a passage that I heard a lot in college that always stuck with me, but it's Old Testament here
mm-hmm.
passage. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So like 10% of what you have and mm-hmm. at that time it would have been like of your crop or your harvest. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Hearing that originally, I remember it being taught, that's one of the only times in Scripture that God says, go ahead and test me. And it mm-hmm. kind of seems similar to this passage
sure.
in 2 Corinthians of, give generously and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be surprise. So there's moments where I'm hesitant to, write a check or a gift or a tithe or something, and things might look tight on the surface, or as I look ahead of the rest of the month, and I go, well, here goes. And I get the faith and worship, and let's see what God's going to do with this. This is going to be a fun ride.
Yeah.
You know, in my good moments, there's obviously harder moments.
Sure.
But yeah, those are the couple of things that come to mind that are meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of my story is definitely in there too. I had a lot of pain and dysfunction in my family growing up, and there was some physical abuse. And I feel like the Lord has done so much healing in my life and brought so many others along my path and along my journey. Before I came to faith, I didn't grow up believing, as Troy mentioned, as part of his story. I didn't come to faith till the very end of high school. But there's just so much healing in my healing story. There's so many people that have given up their time to listen to me, to offer truth and encouragement. Yeah. Some people that have communicated belief in me, pointed out gifts that I have, and have kind of encouraged them and fanned them into flame, if you will, or fanned the flame of those gifts to burn brighter for good things for the kingdom. So I look back not just on God's generosity, but the generosity of those who've gone before me that have shaped, you know, the man I am today, the family I have, the marriage I have, generosity I see, you know, from my wife, from others. Yeah, that's also, I feel like generosity is contagious, right?
Yeah.
Like when it's done well, it's a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. I hear in your story and your experience with it that generosity really is an act of faith. It really is a necessary, like, trusting in the Lord.
Yeah, definitely.
It kind of doesn't make too much sense in a lot of respects outside of that. You know, it is an act of faith. It's an act of worship. So that's definitely encouraging to me to hear. And I'm curious for you guys. I want to get a little bit more practical. Like, we've gotten some of the philosophy, the biblical background behind it. I'd love for you guys to think a little of some practical examples of times or ways or like areas of your life that you try to be generous in and what that's looked like for you. And I'll start with saying, as a church, we've been turning away from this mindset, especially for students in college. The view has historically been college students, they don't have much money, they have debt, they have like loans. You know, so putting in front of them an opportunity to give, to tithe in church, is not helpful. It's burdensome, and we don't want to make people uncomfortable. That would be bad. Even in the past, we've said, like, if you're new here, please don't, it's almost like begging people, like, please don't give. We don't want you to feel like any obligation or anything like that. But now, if you've noticed, if you've been to service lately, you notice a shift. It's actually an invitation to an act of like worship and community and mission in giving. And we used to do a tithe, pizza latte tithe offering just once a month. Now we're engaging with giving as a part of our service on a regular basis. And the reason behind that is that we can be generous in so many different kinds of ways. We can express our generosity even still. We don't want to like take opportunities away from God's people to express generosity. So tithing is just one of those, but I feel like there are far more, and we'll get into that. But I'm curious for you guys, what kinds of experiences of generosity practically have you had?
Yeah, I can jump in first. This is Nick again. So like in terms of time, talent, and treasure, I love kind of breaking it down that way. I feel like in terms of my time, I see it as I want to be generous with it, with those that are in need and that I can help in some way, shape, or form. And I find that people in general, myself included, have a hard time asking for help. It's just like maybe part of our culture or Western individualism, kind of, you know, I need to pull myself up by the bootstraps type thinking.
Sure.
But really, as people of God, we ought to be depending on one another often and regularly because we have different times of strength and different times of weakness.
Yeah.
So there's moments where I feel like my view isn't I need to always be offering myself, but it's I need to be willing to offer myself and then also ask for help when I need it and be conscious of that. And I think that can help with having that cheerful spirit and that cheerful heart.
Sure.
So yeah, practically little things like when I get requests for rides to the airport, you know, I don't just dismiss those because I'm often busy or think, hey, someone else can do that. I consider it every time, which may seem kind of nuts because we live in this college town. Right. Airport's not that far, thankfully, but people are flying in and out of the airport all the time. And so often I try to say yes as much as possible mm-hmm. to requests mm-hmm. along those lines for time as a way of service. Mm-hmm. I like helping people move, so I'll offer that. Yeah. So I go out of my way to say, hey, when you're moving, let me know. Like, seriously, let me know. I'm not just saying that. I yeah. actually mean it.
Yeah. You helped me move a ton, so thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. We packed my van full of so much gosh. Stuff.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And brought my three-year-old along at times to model, you know, being generous and serving. But, you know, the things, I mean, you mentioned the van. So, you know, people ask, you know, can I borrow your van or use that? Because you can fit a lot of stuff in the van. And often I'll try to say yes if I can or offer. I might say, no, you can't borrow my van, but can I come help you?
Yeah.
And it's actually more communal in that way. Mm-hmm. People are surprised by that because they feel like they're infringing upon your time. Mm-hmm. But obviously you have to balance that with you don't want to, you know, just burden yourself out and have no time for, you know, neglect your family, your other responsibilities you have.
Right.
But at the same time, if we're kind of responsibly living our lives, we should have some margin built in that is space to be generous with our time.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of our treasures, our possessions, kind of my mindset that helps me with that is I feel like the way I view it is everything that I have is from the Lord, and we kind of talked about that a little bit already. But beyond that, I feel like everything I have, since it's from the Lord, it's kind of on loan from God.
Sure.
It's not really mine,
sure.
ultimately. It could go away in the blink of an eye with a natural disaster or whatever.
You're not taking it with you in the end.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, yeah, if someone wants to borrow a car, you know, just recently the Western Spring Break, our church plant, to Western H2O Church for their spring break trip, they were short a car, and so they thought of me and asked, and we were taking our van on a spring break trip and had my sedan back at the home. I was just going to sit in the garage, so I said, yeah, sure, go ahead and take the car. It's not best on gas mileage, and it has a lot of miles, but it's reliable. It should work. It should be fine.
Sure.
But honestly, I hesitated for a moment, and I was like, I don't know. It is going to have more miles, and what if, you know, they run into an accident or issue or whatnot, but I had to just say, oh, Lord, this is your car, it's not mine. Ought I do this? And so prayer is involved too, because I, you know, you can't get a lot of requests and you can't say yes to everything.
Right.
But just ask the Lord, hey, ought I do this? Would it be good? Can I do this cheerfully? Mm-hmm. Ought I do this cheerfully? And just felt leading from the Spirit of, come on.
Yeah.
It's just a car.
Yes.
And so then it's good. It's good to do. So, yeah, I'll try to hit on treasure too real quick. So practically for that, I heard in college, this guy came in as a guest speaker to one of our like leadership meetings with like all the small group leaders when I was a student. And great guy, name was Dave, who believer in college, just decided he wants to give and has the gift of giving. And being really generous, and he's gone on to be really successful in business and doing eye surgery and that sort of thing. And so he said in college he wanted to start by giving a minimum of 10% of any time he had an income to try to tithe that and just kind of build that habit before getting to adulthood. And so, you know, part-time jobs or whatnot. And then he said, I want to grow that by 1% every year of my life. And so he's tried to grow that by 1% every year of his life, gotten to the point where he kind of maxed out at right around 50%. And then it was like the tax penalties were greater than the giving would have allowed him to give something along those lines. I don't know. I didn't quite understand that math. But I couldn't believe him. He's up to the point of giving away half of his income.
Wow.
And it was just like a crazy out there way of thinking that again always stuck with me. And so I think about this passage that, like, hermeneutically it's not saying every believer ought to tithe, but is Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he says in Matthew 23:23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees. I don't have this memorized, by the way. I looked it up. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, which I think are spices. So you tithe off the tiniest little crop or thing, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. And my personal conviction from that is, man, I ought to at least be tithing and growing that giving as much as I can.
Sure.
And generous with the finances the Lord has given us. So we haven't been able to grow at 50% by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But every year we look at our income and say, hey, can we grow it by a little bit? Can we grow our giving? And our conviction is to try to do 10% off our gross, actually, because of the concept of first fruits. That's
right.
Also biblically of like give the first fruits, give the best of your crops, which is usually like your unblemished lamb or other livestock or your best wheat or crop. And so I feel like, I mean, I ought to give before I give to the government, back to the Lord.
Yeah. So you're saying pre-tax there.
Pre-tax.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then above that, we just try to grow it if we can and give to, you know, other, you know, we support a child in compassion. We have given to staff at New Life in the past. We support a missionary fund and various other things as they come up. We try to leave a little extra for things that come up. A lot of times students go on mission trips and they'll ask or throw out an ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like anytime I get an ask, if it's in person or if I read it, the Lord wants me to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pray about it and I'll strongly consider it and try to do something if at all possible. I talk to my wife and say, hey, this came up. We think about giving this to that. We talk about it. We agree. We come to a point of unity and try to give. Those are kind of the practicals of trying to get to the nitty-gritty of kind of the way I view it.
Yeah, and thanks for giving examples like that, Nick. Something that stood out to me both with the car and with your like tithing off of your gross income is the car as an example. I mean, a car is probably like one of the greater possessions of value that people have, short of their
people
home.
Love their cars.
People love their cars. But there is a level of like, I felt that, like, if I'm going to let someone use my car, that's like, that is extra valuable to me, both like financially and in terms of use. So I heard in your wrestling with that, having to count the cost of that.
Yeah.
There is a cost. There is a sacrifice behind giving. And even that passage, Troy, you brought up earlier with the Pharisees and the widow giving, giving when it's easy, great. Giving when it's hard, there's something even better and more true and Christ-like in that, right? Because Jesus gave to us at immense cost, the cost of his life. And so it's funny to me, it's not just the act of giving. It's not the amount of giving. There's like that heart behind it. And even I've wrestled with the tithing of the gross income too.
Yeah.
And I've looked at that the past couple of months, actually literally this past month, with a smaller paycheck this month, and was like, I feel like that's something that not everyone does. And so could I just tithe off of the post-tax thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I wrestled because I'm like, that would be easier. But I'm like, man, that this is a greater sacrifice for me. I felt that pinch and I was like, you know, I need to do it. I can't just give when it's easy. I have to be willing to trust and believe in the Lord that it's worth that. I give for like his sake, not for my own, you know? That was something that sacrificial giving came to mind. Troy, I was curious if you could bring any kind of practical experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, time is one that I've been wrestling with recently, but of like giving more time. Feel like I work a lot and sleep a lot, and then there's other time where, you know, I'm just having recreational fun or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's a lot of time not serving the Lord, like specifically doing something to help the needy or something of the sort. So, but ways that I have been able to kind of generously give my time is, I think like you were mentioning, Nick, is when someone has an ask for time, for your time, kind of making it a point to be available to them, to being available to a brother and sister in Christ or to someone who doesn't know the Lord so that you can, show them the character of Jesus through your time and through your compassion of saying, being able to say yes to them when they are in need, because that's usually when people are asking. And so I think it is especially impactful in today's culture, as you were saying, Nick, like we have a hard time asking. So if someone asks, you gotta make it a point to like really try to be available.
Sure.
Because that means that they're being vulnerable and they're in a place of need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always, it's usually probably scary for them. You know, they took this big step, so you want to honor it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you say no, like the impact of that versus you saying yes. It's a complete swing of the pendulum there. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. Serving at church on Sundays can be one, just because it can be a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, working throughout the week, and so I don't want to make church on Sunday morning feel like work, but at the same time, I want to give my time to the Lord and not to the things of the world. So that's one way. Or just being available as a small group leader, or being in a small group with younger men and being able to lead and guide them in, at different times with my experience. Those are times that I think, you know, again, making it a point to chisel out time in my schedule to be available to build up the church.
Yeah.
And then the next one, I'll start by doing a combo of those. The first and the second one would be, you know, giving my time and talent to people who are in the most need. So homeless people, those like people that I feel particularly impacted by.
Yeah.
And so there's a man in Ann Arbor who calls me on a pretty frequent basis at inconvenient times. And I rarely say no to him when he needs a ride somewhere or he needs food or, you know, whatever the case may be. Always try to make it a point to, again, just be available for him and kind of make myself available to give him and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so, you know, Jesus talked about when you have, you know, fed those that were hungry or clothed those that were in need of clothing, like you have done those things to me. And so I have actually, again, I've been just blessed being able to give particularly to this man. And every time I'm with him, just like reminded of Jesus's words, like, you are doing this to me. And so it's not only giving, but like you're receiving at the same time. And so for talent, everyone has different gifts. And so I have gifts of, justice and mercy, I would say, of being able to extend grace, where others might have a more difficult time. And so, and also joy. I love bringing joy to a room.
Yeah.
So
you do that well.
And so there are times when I am really not feeling like being around people, or you know, I just want to be by myself, or whatever the case may be. And I'm and I'm like, okay, well, I need to intentionally actually engage with this and not just give it when it's easy. And so being able to bring that light to a room, or bring that joy to a room, and other people are really good with words of affirmation, just really speaking life into people through their words. And so, you know, again, using those talents to build up, to build one another up. So those are examples I've used, and I've seen gifts and talents be used. And then treasure, this is a more common, easy one, I think, that kind of gets talked about more than the other two. But a motto, kind of a motto that I live by, which it kind of seems dangerous, but at the same time, just trusting the Lord with it, is that if I ever really feel the Spirit like saying that the Lord would have me give to this thing, I don't really ask many questions about it. Even if logistically I'm like, well, that feels really hard. Or even if financially speaking, I look at it and I'm like, well, I don't know how we're going to do this, or this if we do that. It's just a matter of if the Lord has prompted me to give to something, then I usually don't. I don't ask any questions.
You don't want to overthink yourself out of obedience.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's easy to justify why not to give.
Oh, for sure.
And so if the Lord has asked me to give, then I do. And so an encouragement to that is that he's never, like, let me down on the other side. So even though I'm like, well, how about, what about this, or this? And like those things end up happening, or something greater ends up happening. Again, the Lord, again, kind of like the challenge of those who give generously or receive generously kind of thing. Like, the Lord always gives back, and you can't outgive the Lord. So, yeah, those are some ways that I've kind of experienced those things.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I love hearing the, just the listening implied that you're like listening, hearing from the Lord, if you should give in a way. And I think to everyone listening, you hear these examples. These are just examples. There's so many ways that you could be generous with your time, talent, and treasure, no matter what phase of life you are in. And so I would encourage you all to spend time thinking and praying, hearing from the Lord. Are there ways that you could be generous in those areas? When you hear requests, spend time in prayer and consider, is this something that God would have you do? It's challenging, like we've talked about. You could always give more. You could give of yourself to the point of serious detriment. I think a huge strategy in determining is really hearing from the Lord. Really, if you're willing to sit and to humble yourself before Him and say, Lord, everything I have is yours. Would you have me steward what is yours toward this? And are willing to listen, I think He will guide you, He will direct you, He will help you. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that can be hard is people can hear these things and say, oh, I should do what Troy and Nick are doing. I need to do that. But that might not be where the Lord has the person listening. But there are things that each of you have that you can offer up to the Lord and say, Lord, all I have is yours. What would you ask of me? Go ahead, Troy.
A way that I would even consider thinking about that would be asking the Lord to reveal to you what your treasures are or what your talents are, and kind of see those and then ask the Lord how He would use your talents to guide your time or guide your treasures about things that you're passionate about giving towards. He'll kind of lead you through those. But I think starting with what your talents are and how you can give those in the other two areas are kind of a way to kind of do that.
Yeah. And Nick, if you could quickly... one thing that we have as a church is a resource called the Giving Journey, and it's a way to help people take kind of intentional, practical steps to increase their lifestyle generosity. And so I'm curious if you could help kind of outline that a little bit so that people can maybe self-assess where they're at in their own like journey with generosity and maybe a next kind of step that they could take.
Yeah, sure. So basically, there's just kind of three steps of trying or seeking the Lord or praying and asking the Lord to help you increase your generosity and trust in the Lord. And so we kind of just try to name these things to help people be able to evaluate, hey, where am I at? How can I grow in generosity? And this is kind of taking things, looking at it from a financial lens, but this could be applied to time and talent as well. But so the first is kind of like a consistent giver. That's someone who sees that I should give to the Lord. I should do it consistently. The next is like an intentional giver, someone who begins thinking about, man, yeah, I want to be intentional, not just consistent, but think about, you know, kind of how can I give more? How can I increase? Think about how much is going to this one area in relation to another area to giving.
Sure.
So there's intentionality there. And then the last one is a sacrificial giver. So that's someone who like really is making changes in their lifestyle that has a significant cost that allows them to be able to give.
Sure.
And give abundantly. And so in that journey, like before you get to each step, we kind of name that there's like gaps. So before you can be a consistent giver, there's like an infrequency gap. So you can overcome that gap by just prioritizing giving, which could be as simple as signing up for regular giving online. That way you're kind of like committed to it. It's still good to think about and pray about and potentially adjust, but that's one way to kind of try to bridge that gap.
Some others I've heard are like someone who makes an effort to, hey, I'm going to serve on a Sunday morning once a month. I'm gonna find a role there. Yep. Or some people who say, you know what, in my family, I'm going to host and bring people in to like and have dinner with us once a week. Different ways in which you can make that consistent.
Yep, totally. That's great, man. And then the next gap between like consistent giver and intentional giver is what we named a discretionary gap. And so that's where you're trying to think about how, that there's more discretion to be able to give to giving first. So that's, you can overcome that gap by prioritizing giving first, kind of out of that like first fruits, like we mentioned earlier, not just giving out of like what's left at the end of the month, like, oh, hey, this was a tight month, so I'm just going to give this, but possibly giving based on a percentage amount,
sure,
or dollar amount that, you know, you seek the Lord on. Mm-hmm. If you have a significant other, you talk it over with them.
Right.
And so that's kind of going from a consistent, jumping over that discretionary gap to an intentional giver.
So where, like, you could look at, rather than saying, oh, I just don't have any time, you know, mm-hmm, I just am so busy. This would require kind of making that a priority above other things in order to make room for that.
Yeah. Okay. And you spend time at the beginning of the month planning out your month.
Right.
You know, with
so
the,
that you
with
have
the schedule.
Space. Sure.
So you have space and you have time budgeted. Hey, I know I'm going to study in these blocks.
Sure.
So that way I can have more freedom on a Friday night to go, you know, serve in some, you know, mercy house or other need or
mm-hmm,
something along those lines. And then, yeah, that last gap between intentional giver and sacrificial giver is what we call a comfort gap, that, you know, we don't really want to pay a cost. We enjoy our comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely enjoy my comforts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you can overcome that gap by prioritizing, giving first that kind of governs the way you're living. It's choosing to impact your life in a way, in order to support kingdom works that has an impact,
mm-hmm,
for eternity. So that might look like, hey, choosing, you know what, I'm not going to go buy that brand new expensive car when I get out of college and get my first high paying job,
mm-hmm,
because, you know, brand new cars are super expensive and
yeah,
you tie up a large portion of your monthly paycheck on that huge car payment, and it also loses like $1,000 the minute you drive it out the lot.
Sure.
So maybe, you know, I'm not saying buy a car that's totally unreliable, but
mm-hmm,
something that's a few years old but is leave space for
mm-hmm,
more giving could be an example for that from a financial way.
Excellent. Thanks for walking us through that, Nick. And just as we're getting to closing, I'd love to hear if one of you has any kind of picture as to what could it look like if our church, if our community really engaged with this, really bought into, really valued generosity as personal joy. I'm curious if you guys have any kind of vision of like what that could look like for us as a church.
Yeah. Well, this even kind of goes back to what I was saying. I think if our church really valued and lived out generosity as our joy, like,
mm-hmm,
well, like we were, you know, really moved by the Spirit and listened to the Spirit and did it often and generously. For one, I think like there would be less judgment, because I think that can be one of the fears. Even what I said last about the car example, like, you know, hey, if one of you feel that you can afford it and you buy a brand new car,
mm-hmm,
like I'm not going to judge you if I see you driving in that. I'm
sure
gonna trust the Lord that, you know, you saw him and it made sense for you and your situation. But I think, you know, I can dream of, you know, hey, if we're generous with one another and we're open about our needs, and generous with those outside the church, it's just this beautiful picture of, you know, the focus is on loving others as we've been loved by Jesus. It's not on judging our motives or our heart,
right,
or anything along those lines. And that really frees up the ability to then, yeah, dream about, man, what sort of impact, you know, if our church was known as a place of open-handedness, of generosity,
yeah,
that if you had a need, you could come and bring it and it would be considered, or someone would take the time to be with you and listen to you,
mm-hmm,
and you'd be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautiful, and it's,
yeah,
easy to underestimate the effect that could have someone's life.
Yeah, it's countercultural. It's a light in this world that reflects the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects God's generosity in Jesus. It points to that. That's the reason why we do this, and that there's so much effect for that. Just in closing, I want to point anyone listening to consider reading 1 Chronicles 29. I'm going to read a couple of verses of this, but I feel like it captures a lot of these things well. And we'll end with this. So this is in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. This is after David has given himself and has helped to make the temple of the Lord, and invited so many people into that. And people gave wholeheartedly and freely. And this is a prayer, he says. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. I love this image, the acknowledgement that it all comes from the Lord, and what an incredible privilege, and who are we to be able to give anything to the Lord as worship when it all comes from him, but what an incredible privilege. So I hope for all of you listening, you had to be generous with your time to listen to this whole thing, but I hope that this is encouraging for you to consider how you could worship the Lord by considering your generosity. And I want to thank you guys for being here, Nick and Troy. This is part of my job. You guys gave above and beyond to be willing to build people up with this. So thank you guys for being here. And that is going to close out our episode on generosity.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.